selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens, and this is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, and I'm your host for the next hour. I talked the last couple of shows about the shooting in Quebec at this mosque, at which six people were supposed to have been killed. I haven't had time to look into it too deeply. I've been very busy trying to tie up a project. And today is my first day off in 10 days, and I tell you, it went really fast. And I didn't realize just how freaking tired I was until I woke up today. It's been a bit of a project, but we're getting her tied down finally. Anyways, I lost all my freaking tabs that have open. I usually keep 100 plus open, so I do my research, and for some oddball reason, they didn't come up the last time I fired up my browser. So now I got to go and search through the history to get what I need, which could take me several friggin' hours, of which I was not up to today. So anyways, some news. I guess Tinkerbell Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, will be visiting with Donald Trump on Monday. That should be interesting. An intelligent man, Donald Trump, and an idiot, Justin Tinkerbell Trudeau. I hope Trump went to Toys R Us or something and got some toys or something for Trudeau to play with. I mean, the guy's a complete mental case. Is the IQ of a tomato, I guess. No, that's being nasty. As now I'm discriminating against tomatoes. The guy's an airhead. His daddy was trained by the Jesuits. His daddy is a communist. His son's a communist. Barack Obama's a communist. They're both Muslims. And they're trying to fill up our countries with Muslims in order to take down the West and implement Sharia law. Now, Mr. Trump apparently is not up for all of that stuff. And so it should be an interesting meeting come Monday. But we've had all of these across our so-called nation. We've had all these vigils, candlelight vigils and meetings at mosques and that as the Christian preachers and politicians and other leftists, Marxists, communists, Jew ass, Muslim ass kissing fools, show their disdain for what happened in Quebec. Now, again, I can't say this enough. I'm anti-violent. Although, if you push me far enough. But I'm not looking for violence, and I don't want to see violence, because violence is, again, what they want. They want violence. They're doing everything in their damn power to get the majority of the people to turn violent. Therefore, we must not give them what they want. But, so the last week or so, it's been all, you know, pro-Muslim, pro-mosque, plus pro-Islam, coming from our so-called Christian leaders and the politicians and the powers that be and all of the NGOs who pushed Occupy and Idle No More and now Direct Democracy and all the rest of the garbage that's coming out of the United Nations and their players. But so everybody's got a vigil out here across the nation for the men that were killed at the mosque. Okay. But now we got another problem here. This is how this story changes. Six, and I guess another victim has come forward here. Teenage girls. This is yesterday's news on CBC, our communist broadcasting corporation, which pushes global warming and renewable energy and global citizenship and all this kind of crap, which is a federal news agency there to shove the propaganda in everybody's face and call it, be proud of the CBC as your news network. Well, nothing belongs to us in this nation, so how the hell could that be our news network? It's a propaganda arm of the federal government is all it is. Stroika, I guess, whatever they call that in Russia. Anyways, there was six counts of sexual assault took place, or six counts of sexual assault against a guy who inappropriately was touching young girls under 16 at the West Edmonton Mall water park. Okay. So this was a semi-private, whatever that's supposed to mean, event. I guess you can rent at the West End in the mall after it closes at night and rent it and use the pool. And it's an amazing center. I'm not sure if it's still the world's biggest mall. It was at one point. Anyways, Edmonton police were called to the water park about 10:30 p.m. after receiving reports of sexual assaults. A man both followed and inappropriately touched at least 6 teenage girls while swimming in the park, said police spokesman Scott Patterson. The girls, who Patterson said were all under 16, spoke to a lifeguard. The lifeguard called security and kept an eye on the man. When police arrived, security led him to the man, who was arrested at the scene. Now, the water park is booked for semi-private event. Now, the West Edmonton Mall water park is generally closed at 7 p.m. on Saturdays, but the mall offers bulk tickets to organizations for semi-private events. Now, who rented this thing? The University of Alberta's Non-Academic Staff Association bought 1,800 of the 2,000 tickets available for the semi-private event on February the 4th. The association bought the tickets and sold them at cost to their members. It was just an event to get our members out of their houses into the park and have some socialization in the middle of the winter, said NASA Director of Operations Nancy Furlong. At least some of the victims are related to members of the organization, she said. The man arrested is not a member, and she was not sure whether he was a family member or friend. Anyway, so this goes on, and Furlong said she has contacted members who purchased tickets to notify them of the incident and asked them to cooperate with police. She said a few members have expressed concern, but understand that the incident could have happened in any public place. Yeah, we got all kinds of people running around in Canada inappropriately touching six, seven underage girls. Happens every day. So it didn't have anything to do with this group of people. The police child, where am I going here? Police The police child protection section has now taken over the investigation. Police are asking for any other complainants or witnesses who are at the water park at the time to contact them. Believes there may be more complainants. Now, here's where the problem starts. So we got a guy at the West Edmonton Mall Water Park who is running around inappropriately touching girls who are under 16 years of age. And the guy doing it is not a 16-year-old boy or a boy under 16. No, it's a 39-year-old man. And his name just happens to be, now this kills me because his first and last name are the same. Soliman Haji Soliman has been charged with 6 counts of sexual assault, 6 counts of sexual interference. Soliman is a Syrian refugee, two sources told CBC on Wednesday. Mohammed Haag, executive director of the Islamic Family and Social Service Association, said his concerns proved to be well-founded Wednesday after news stories identified Soliman as a Syrian refugee. Now, this head of the Islamic Family and Social Services Association says he's disappointed that his nationality and immigration status was even identified in this case, said Hurg, whose agency helped 250 Syrian refugees settle in Edmonton last year. This is an isolated case that should not cast a negative light on the thousands of other refugees who have come to this country without incident. Well, we've got all kinds of reports across this nation of Syrian refugees and other Eastern refugees who have been accused of rape, accused of inappropriate touching, but it never hits the media. It's always hushed up. He goes on to say what should have been a local story will likely now attract international coverage. Well, if you've spent any time at all looking around, you know that this same type of activity is going on everywhere these immigrants show up. Sweden's a mess. Denmark's a mess. Britain's a mess. France is a mess. Germany's a mess. And there's all kinds of examples of vicious rapes of young girls and women. But hey, should have never said who he was. It's just an insulated case. So now that was yesterday. So now we have a news story today. Storm of reaction to news Syrian refugee charged with sex assaults. And then there's a subheading here. The insertion of two words, Syrian refugee, completely changed the dimension of the story. No, it didn't. It's still a story about a Syrian refugee who inappropriately touched 6 or 7 or more girls at a water park in Edmonton, a 39-year-old man inappropriately touching girls under 16. Same story. It's the same damn story. But this really gets sick. And this is really important for people to understand. Reports that a man accused of sexual assault on 6 Edmonton teenage girls was a Syrian refugee have ignited a firestorm of reaction from anti-immigration to criticism about how the media dealt with the story. Groups that work with refugees in the city have been inundated with calls and texts over the past 24 hours. Some people calling for an end to the refugee program and others from refugees themselves apologizing on behalf of their community. Oops, we got caught. Eric Abbotton, executive director of the Edmonton Mennonite Center for Newcomers, said his organization received a message on Twitter from a white supremacist group that included a picture of a Syrian refugee, asking the center to confirm whether the photo was the same man accused of the crimes. It may have just been to scare us or to unnerve people, Abbotton said. Now, before I go any farther on this, the Mennonites, you can look it up, the Mennonites are up to their asses in the United Nations programs and agendas. They're part of the system. Why would Mennonites, why in the hell would Mennonites be sponsoring in Syrian refugees? The Mennonites apparently just want to be left alone to run around in their buggies and farm and all this kind of stuff. But they are up to their asses in the United Nations agendas. But around my party office, he goes on, that's what's happening. People are starting to get really nervous, and the English language students are starting to get really nervous. And the Syrian students are apologizing for somebody who they don't even know because he's got the same country of origin as they do. Well, all across this nation, there was vigils for these people who were killed at the mosque, and I would venture to say that 99.9999999% of those at these vigils didn't know who the victims were. This is how they turn the stories. And it gets better as we go along here. It's really spiraling into an ugly, really ugly place. Geez, they use really a lot, eh? Soliman Haji Soliman, 39, was arrested Saturday and charged with 6 counts of sexual assault and sexual interference after 16 age girls, all younger than 16, told police they were inappropriately touched while swimming at the West Edmonton Mall Water Park. When Edmonton police announced the charges on Wednesday, they urged any other complainants or witness to contact them. One more complainant and one more witness have since come forward, police spokesman said Thursday. The man charged in the case was a Syrian refugee who arrived in Canada in January 2016. That's when they brought, 20 or 30,000 refugees into the country, not vetted. They said, oh, we vetted them. Really, you can't vet 30,000 people in the span of time it took to bring them in here. That's a crock of nonsense. You brought in here because Canada is a member state of the United Nations, and we signed an agreement to flood our nations in the West with migrants. And those migrants were recreated in order they could flood the West with them. That's one of the main reasons our countries were bombed. A fact is reported Wednesday by numerous news outlets, including CBC. The story was quickly picked up by the alt-right websites, and the anti-immigration groups, and it was shared widely on social media. Mohammed Hurga, executive director of the Islamic Family and Social Services Association, said reports about Solomon's refugee status unfairly vilified an entire community. It's going to inflame a segment of our population who already harbor a bias, a discrimination, or unfair views towards newcomers, said Hogg, whose group last year helped settle 250 Syrian refugees. I think this certainly emboldens them, referring to those concerned about the flooding of migrants into our nations. He also said the incident is already being used to incite fear of new immigrants and has cast a negative light on thousands of refugees. The insertion, this is a quote from him, the insertion of two words, Syrian refugee, completely changed the dimension of the story, he said. What was initially a local crime story became a wider discussion about screening practices, immigration levels. It has turned into an entirely different debate. Well, you can look at it this way too, my friend from Edmonton of the Islamic Association. This brouhaha that fired up across the nation about the killing in the mosque in Quebec, I suppose we could have called that a local story as well. But I didn't hear you or any of your Muslim friends or Islamic friends bitching and complaining about the widespread news coverage that story got. No. He also said the suspect's immigration status is not relevant to the crime, and journalists had a duty to keep those details out of their coverage, he said. These news outlets, or he said news outlets, including the CBC, are often inconsistent in their reporting on the racial backgrounds of suspects. Now, I didn't hear this guy apologize to the girls or to families that were messed with, to the young girls who now are probably looking over their shoulder all the time to see who's going to sneak up on them next. Nope. This is all a crime, a media crime now, and it emboldens the right wing and the anti-immigrant faction. I don't recall him or anyone else apologizing for what took place here. Nope, this is a run at the media. Media reports must take into account the everyday discriminations newcomers to Canada often face. Deciding who to publicly identify without recognizing the hostility towards immigrants will make already vulnerable people targets for more hatred, he said. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It was one of your guys that messed with at least 7 girls under 16. If this person was Caucasian, that wouldn't have been identified in any way because it's not relevant to the story, and his immigration status certainly shouldn't be, really. Responsible journalists should be aware. I don't recall the last time I saw somebody arrested in this country who was Caucasian for hanging out at the West Edmonton Mall and inappropriately touching 7, at least 7, young girls under 16. The deflection here is amazing. We are not guilty of anything. Well, of course you are. But you're mad at the media because they told a story. Responsible journalists should be aware of the political climate, so when we use that kind of language or when we ascribe a community to an individual, we need to be wary of the implications. Now, you know, they talk about Canada being inclusive, and they talk about it being a diverse nation. But these people come here and they do not integrate into our society. In this, he refers to the word community over and over and over and over again. And in other words, the Islamic community. Doesn't call it the community of fellow Canadians. It's the Islamic community. Because why? They don't integrate. Simple as that. Story goes on. When the media reports stories like this one's decisions about information is relevant have to be made on a case-by-case and sometimes on a day-by-day basis, said David Tatt, professor at Carleton University who has taught ethics courses at journalism school. The guy's a Marxist. If he's in the university and he's talking shit like this, he's a Marxist. This is a quote. Journalists have to sort of go and look at the situation, not from a standpoint of is there public appetite for this information? Do people want to know it? But is that detail relevant at this stage to the story? So now you have a journalism professor telling the journalist that you have to be very careful when you're dealing with stories about immigrants or the Islamic community. Goes on to say, and that's a very difficult thing to determine as a journalist because you also have to be careful that you're not making your judgment for some sort of social engineering purpose. Well, that's exactly what the judgments are for, is a social engineering purpose. to say, oh, I don't want to make these sorts of people look bad, or I don't want to make these sorts of people look good. You shouldn't make your simplistic judgments based on how you want people to think about something, because that's not the journalistic mission. Now, this is a journalism professor again, said in this case, what case? Case of a Muslim immigrant inappropriately touching these young girls. But the professor says, but in this case, while reporting immediately after the arrest was made public, he would have questioned whether the details about the accused's background were relevant. Hey, professor, bite me, you twit. You, my friend, are a huge problem, a huge part of the problem. My question would be, would we have run additional background details about this person if they were a gay man, a gun owner, if they were Jewish? Oh, Jewish. And this is exactly what the media is doing. The anti-Islamic Islamophobe nonsense is exactly parroted from the Jewish censorship. And both the Arabs and the Jews are Semitic. It says so. So to be anti-Islamic is to be anti-Semitic. And that's why these people are getting a special place in the media. You know, it says additional background details about this person if they were a gay man. Well, a gay man would not have been at the West Edmonton Mall inappropriately touching under 16-year-old girls, would he? But this journalism professor tries to make that attachment. We're a gun owner. Oh, trust me. Trust me. If a gun owner in this nation farts crooked, it's going to be in the news that he was a gun owner. And the reason he farted crooked was because he's a gun owner, and therefore he's a threat to the rest of society. But this journalism professor, being who they are, twists this garbage around. If they were Jewish, if they were a fundamentalist Christian, if they're a recent arrival from the United States, if they were a member or any number of other identifiers. What a load of shit. It is the responsibility of journalists to try to determine what the public needs to know. Not what the real story is, but what they need to know. And the journalists make the determination what you need to know. That's why you never see anything true in the media. Because their job is to manipulate, deceive, and push the frauds. You know, Alex, and if he's listening, I hope you're doing okay, my friend. But I still want to start a newspaper. And because we need voices out there, and we need voices to get to the Joe Average that lives on your street, who is not going to be ripping around social media trying to figure out how the world works. So we're going to have to bring it to their doorstep. But anyways, Alex, who completed his journalism courses down in Toronto area, 2 years in, realized that in order for him to be a journalist, he had to sell his soul. And he wasn't prepared to do that, but he went ahead and he finished his course anyways. And hopefully we can use him for his editorial ability if we get a paper off the ground. Not if, when we get a paper off the ground. And, you know, I forget the guy's name. This was back in the 1800s or something when he was retiring from the media. He told him at the dinner that should we write our own opinion, we would find ourselves on the street without a job in the morning and unemployable. in the business. In other words, you toe the line or you ain't going to be getting paid as a journalist. Then he went on to say, we are the journalists. We are the prostitutes of the rich men. They pay us and we do what they ask. And this is a typical example of journalism. It is a response. Have you ever heard a more ridiculous statement? It is a responsibility of journalists to try to determine what the public needs to know to understand the story. Once the public has the information, people make their own choices, but what's relative to them. Some will seize on information that confirms their own views about the world and overlook other aspects of the story. Now, that's a shot at the so-called alt-right. Our job is to report what's going on out there in the world, he said. The story about the water park allegation is a classic example of where people these days are rushing to grab details to use individual facts as weapons instead of looking at those details and saying, how does this fit into my developing understanding of the world? Now, that is just a wonderful Marxist, communist, United Nations message coming out of the mouth of this two-bit piece of garbage that calls himself a journalism professor. How does it fit into my developing understanding of the world? And that developing understanding of the world that you're supposed to be understanding is the propaganda that's fed to the students in universities and grade schools and churches and through the media, through politics, as they fashion your understanding of the world. It really makes me want to puke, actually. Evidence said Soiliman came to Canada in January 2016 with his wife and 63 children. No, I'm just kidding about that. His six children. Age 1 to 13 years old, the family was assisted by the Mennonite Center, again, who was up to their ass in facilitating UN agenda and globalist agenda. Some commentators are exploring the fact that a Syrian refugee has been charged with a crime, he said. They're exploring what's happening to these girls to say something about immigration. And it just gets, here's that word again, really ugly thing to do. It's been pretty awful to bear witness to. It will be up to the justice system to determine the facts of the case and if a crime has been committed, punish the person responsible, he said. To make this, excuse me, about immigration is just absurd. What has happened is there has been a sexual assault at the West Edmonton Mall, and six girls are going to be traumatized, likely for the rest of their lives, because of a crime that somebody perpetrated on them. To me, that's a concern. Well, all the way through this story, I didn't see any mention from the professor or anybody else about how devastated they are, because the word devastated, shocked, disappointed, was coming off the tongues of everybody across this nation over the shooting at the mosque. But all the way through this story, I don't see anybody setting up a vigil for these young girls who, correctly, this Mennonite guy said they will probably be traumatized for the rest of their lives. It's just a fact, and apparently that is some concern to him. But the main concern is that we don't say anything negative about refugees. That's the whole story. And it's sick. And it's pathetic. And that's the kind of nation we live in today. A very sick, messed up, confused, propagandized, deceived nation. And it's time the people of this nation woke up to the reality of what's going on. Now, if I'd written this story for this paper, And I said, the fact that this gentleman has been charged with inappropriately touching young girls is not news, really. If we go across the world, we can find and we can name those and we can show those and we can verify those multi incidences of rape and beating and harassment of young girls who or women or old women who don't dress to the Islamic standards and so on and so forth. And we could tie this to the story easily, but that story would never in a million years be mainstream news in this nation or most any other nation, because the agenda is the destruction of the West. You know, I think there was a quote that Obama made that the Muslims were integral in the building of America. Now, if that don't make you choke, I don't know what would. I'm sure there's a lot of Americans going around and say, what? The Muslims built America? Well, that's news to us. Well, why don't you, just hang in there and where is that damn? Why don't you think about what the journalism professor said? You know, why don't you quit worrying about it? Just figure out how this Muslim migration fits into your developing understanding of the world. Well, your understanding of the world has been tossed out the window and has been replaced by their understanding, their developing understanding of the world. How do we bring the world to where we want it? And George Hunt, who I miss, did that brilliant work back in the 80s. You know, in our hands, you know, the United Nations emblem there with the world in the hands, holding the world in our hands. In whose hands, asked George. And that's exactly the question. In whose hands? Your hands? My hands? No, their hands. And what is their plan? Well, their plan is the eradication of any kind of freedom on this planet. Their goal is to destroy the American Constitution and the Christian faith that these nations were built upon. And the Muslim migration is a huge part of that. And people got to wake up to it. I'm sure there's all kinds of people in my country who read this story that I just read and say, yeah, why did they do that? I mean, they're just immigrants. Why are we picking on them? Say, yeah, so one bad apple doesn't spoil a barrel. Want to bet? Those apples all coming off the same tree. Now, again, when I went to that Muslim youth meeting many, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, they were very explicit during our conversation of about 2 hours. They were very explicit that their belief is that the Quran will replace the King James Bible and Sharia will be the law of these lands. Now, I have never read the Quran. I haven't had time. But it seems to run awful closely to the Jewish law, where you can mess with a goy or infidel. And it's okay to cheat an infidel or a goy because they're just dogs or animals. It's okay to mess with children, especially if they're goy or infidel children. We have the police, the politicians, the preachers, the teachers, the news media protecting and not reporting on So many incidences that should have been reported on. This one just simply slipped through the cracks. That's what this story is about. This is one that slipped through the editorial hands and made it to the paper. And I'm sure at CBC right now, there are heads rolling. I don't know who wrote the original story, but I would imagine he's having not a good day. Or the story was specifically put out in order to take another shot at anti-Muslim rhetoric and to further force the weight of political correctness on the people of this nation. Now, where is this? Now, this is how we look after our people. Here, they do the same thing in the United States, which really sickens me. I'm not into the military. The military is a state international police force. Working for the corporation, which is the state, or working for the benefit of other corporations who are tied to the state. And I wish the military people would figure that out. Do we need a military? Absolutely. But we need a military that takes an oath to the people, not to the state. Because if you took an oath to the state, you don't stand up for the people. Then that's sick. Anyways, here's an exclusive. I don't think I got to worry about reading it. I'm going to read it later. A former soldier and single mother is evicted from wherever she's living while she's waiting for her military pension. Meanwhile, all of these immigrants that are coming in are getting very, very healthy payments, and they're put in housing. In fact, this is a military woman who's been evicted from wherever she was living while she's waiting for her pension. Meanwhile, down in Kingston, Ontario, they vacated the military out of their barracks and out of their military housing in order to accommodate the immigrants. And here's a lady who supposedly was in the military, who supposedly worked in order to protect our so-called freedom, gets kicked out of her house, waiting for her frickin' pension. And I see something in the legislature here in Ontario, or in Canada, that they want to reduce the pensions that the military receives. And that goes back to George Hunt, when one of his videos there. And I encourage people to go back and listen to some George Hunt's work. He has evidence that I forget who the guy was, but from the government of the United States, who calls military nothing more than cannon fodder. In other words, once you shoot them out of the cannon, tough luck. Lands where it lands, and we don't have any more responsibility for it. Plain and simple. So I'm going to take a quick and there's another one. I'll have to do that on the weekend, I guess, because we're running out of time here. Apparently, we're being overrun. A small town of 700 people on the Manitoba-North Dakota border is being overrun with immigrants, or illegals, I guess you would call them, because they didn't come through the front door. They're coming through the back door, the side door, and are infiltrating. Or, well, I guess our borders are pretty porous, apparently, and they're just wandering across and moving into this small town of 700 people, and the people are on the hook for all these expenses. And now apparently the fire department can't afford to be the fire department because the money's being sucked off to look after these migrants. And somebody will complain and say that that's Donald Trump's fault because of his clampdown. Anyways, on Monday, Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump will meet in Washington. Prime Minister plans to discuss Canadian values and jobs during his first face-to-face with the new U.S. president. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says he will discuss Canadian values during a visit to Quallet Thursday. Trudeau was asked whether he would raise the controversial U.S. travel ban with Trump, which affects people from seven majority Muslim countries, as well as all refugees. Now, this is a quote from our prime minister, but people keep saying he's our prime minister. He is not our prime minister. If you're a Canadian and you're listening to the show, Justin Trudeau is not, understand that, not your prime minister. He is the prime minister of the Queen. Now, the Queen is a fictional entity, as is the prime minister. The Queen is the head of state of this nation. And Tinkerbell Trudeau is the prime minister of that fictional entity. So Prime Minister Trudeau is not your prime minister. Secondly, because the fictional entities do not recognize a man or a woman. They're dead fictional characters. They're lifeless. And we've allowed these lifeless fictions to control our lives. We've got to be the dumbest. Well, everybody in every nation's under the same fraud. But anyways, this is a quote from Tinkerbell. As everyone in Canada knows, I have two important responsibilities that stand out in the way we engage our neighbors to the south. The first is, of course, the highest Canadian values and principles and the things that keep our country strong, he said. Well, that didn't say anything. The second responsibility that I have, which we will very much be engaged in, is creating jobs and opportunity for Canadian citizens. Read subject, read slave. Through the continued close integration on both sides of our borders. Conservative MP Gary Ritz said Trudeau should avoid the temptation to go overboard in confronting the new president, despite the feedback he may be getting on social media. In an email statement, Kate Purchase, Trudeau's director of communications. Now, I got to look this back up because I keep seeing that name. And there was a Purchase that was involved in the screw over of our electrical system here in Canada, who was involved with the Enron boys. And I'm going to have to see if this Kate Purchase and the other Purchase are somehow related. Probably are. Trudeau's director of communications said that the leaders look forward to discussing the unique relationship between Canada and the United States of America and how we can continue to work hard for middle-class Canadians and Americans together. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer echoed the statement during his daily briefing in Washington on Thursday. The president looks forward to a constructive conversation and strengthening the deep relationship between the United States and Canada. We found our U.S. counterparts to be interested, engaged, understanding the depth of relationship and the importance of the relationship to the United States and Canada, so we want to build on that, one of those told reporters speaking at Georgetown University. I think Americans intuitively understand the strength of the relationship. Ritz said he doesn't expect any big announcements out of the Washington trip as the prime minister starts to build a relationship with the new president. This won't be the Trudeau family reunion at the White House. That'll be a little different, Ritz told reporters after the question period, returning to the state dinner Barack Obama hosted for Trudeau last year. Despite Trudeau's publicly chummy relationship with Obama, Ritz said he didn't feel it had benefited Canada. I didn't see much romance in the last bilateral relationship. He said we lost Keystone XL. We didn't get any border access. We didn't get anything. The bromance didn't follow through. It was more of a one-hit date. This is really a sad story. Anyways, they're going to meet on Monday, and there'll be some news. Up here in Canada, as in the States, the leftists, of which the prime minister, not my prime minister, the prime minister is like his daddy, a globalist, a Marxist, a communist, and the bad mouthing up here. You can't pick up paper up here without bad mouthing going on. Of Donald Trump. There's so many stories in here. I mean, this stuff just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming. There's a story in, oh, if I can find that, where is, let's see, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. I got a couple minutes later. Everything was hurting so bad, how one Muslim man snuck across the U.S. border into Canada. Crossing Canada, full coverage, refugees crossing Canada-U.S. border. This just goes on and on and on and on. Okay, why refugees are choosing to cross into Manitoba instead of Saskatchewan? I want to die, a 2-year-old refugee said during an hours-long walk to the Manitoba from the U.S. I'm not even sure if a 2-year-old knows how to say, I want to die, but. An informal network helping refugee seekers to get to Manitoba, U.S. officials say. 22 people crossed the U.S. border into Emerson on the weekend. Should Winnipeg become a sanctuary city? Bowman says city may be welcoming enough. Now, if you have a sanctuary city, it is totally against the federal law. The feds look after immigration, not cities. But these are the global cities now. This is all playing part and parcel of the human rights bullshit out of the United Nations, which is a massive, massive fraud. And should Winnipeg become a sanctuary city, why don't you just leave the country? So February the 2nd, frostbitten refugees on the road to recovery. Frostbitten refugee on the road to recovery says, "We are now part of the Canadian people." No, you're not. You're someone that crossed the border illegally into a country that the vast majority of the people don't want here. Now, that may sound cruel, but it's not. Helping freezing refugees, not all that uncommon in Manitoba border towns. Scrap Safe County, packed with U.S. advocates and professors urge Ottawa to let all the migrants in. Yeah, so you can read this stuff. This if you're from Canada or you're not from Canada. And this is all Trump's fault, right? I'm sure I didn't read these stories, but I'm sure it's all Trump's fault. They almost froze to death, refugees frostbitten after walking the Manitoba border. Now, I'm sure that that has got to have a shot at Trump in it somewhere. He was running away to save his life, refugee says, of man's frigid journey across the Canadian border. It's a life or death decision to try to cross the U.S.-Canada border illegally. And one former refugee now living in Winnipeg says people only attempt the dangerous journey because they have no other choice. Now that has got to have a shot at Trump on it. Now, meanwhile, this military woman in the wintertime has apparently been evicted from where she's living, waiting for her pension. But this guy, these people who cross the border illegally, will be housed and fed and kept warm and given money and education and so on and so forth. On the one hand, okay, I don't want to see anybody harmed. I don't want to see anybody without a roof over their head. I don't want to see anybody without health care. I don't want to see anybody without food. But this is the garbage you're using to play against the heartstrings or tweak the heartstrings of both the people, of all the people in the West. I don't care which country in the West you're from. It's to pull at your heartstrings. Why is the bombing taking place in these countries? Wasn't the United Nations set up specifically to stop war? Weren't all the members agreed to that if someone else became aggressive, that the rest of the members would step in and put a stop to it instantaneously? That has never happened, because that never was the plan of those who created the United Nations. It's always been about world dominance. And these migrants who have been, these people have been blown out of their own countries and now being shipped all over the world, being promised a better life. Is it really their fault? No, it's not their fault. Whose fault is it? It's our fault. It's our fault for allowing the bombing to take place. It's our fault. What's going to happen to these places? Are these places just going to be lay empty from now on? These countries that have been devastated by bombing, are they just going to lie empty from here on in? I don't have a problem bringing these people in at such time until this aggression has been stopped and they can start rebuilding their own country. They can go home, and if the international community wants to fork up money for the rebuild of what should have never been destroyed in the first damn place, I'm all for it. But that's not the plan. The plan isn't to rebuild. The plan isn't to send these people home when the war is over. The plan is to use the war to flood our nations with these people who are going to end up in our parliaments, in our senates, and who are going to be writing the rules, the regulations, the laws, which are going to be Sharia, as was told to me by the Muslim group that I spoke with 5 or 6 years ago. And people better wake up to this nonsense. These leftists, these Jewish leftists, these Semitic leftists, I mean, you think about it. Well, I can't think about it because I see it's 7:58, which means I'm out of time. But we'll continue banging away at this stuff until people understand the reason that these people are landing in our nations. And then the people better wake up, and wake up quicker than they ever thought they could possibly do so. And to the CBC, thank you for getting that story out, whether it was intended or not. I have a funny feeling it wasn't intended, but it may have been intended. And the CBC is an international mouthpiece of the left, which is the United Nations, which was really started by the Jewish faction. Anyways, we're out of time. Everybody have a great night. Let's rock the boat for Thursday. Again, as always, I want to thank you for watching. Take care, everybody. We are out of here. They kill, they master from rain. They burn the kids. No one makes fun. Trees blind to your face. Forgive.
AJ Inc. from Against